Krishna Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. There is a special reference in the Bhagavatam with response to the particularly to the childhood. Childhood pastimes, Krishna's childhood pastimes is known as Balalila. Balalila means the time he spent in Vrindavanam and Gokul right up to the age of 12 before he went to Mathura. And the pastimes in Mathura and Dwaraka is not included in the childhood pastimes. Basically the pastimes in Vrindavanam is called the childhood pastimes. So these childhood pastimes, they have been mentioned in the Bhagavatam for some specific reasons that many commentators on Bhagavatam are of the opinion that to attract the minds of all kinds of people in this world. Generally, people are classified into three categories in this world. What are they? Normally, Vishayis. Vishayis means those who are addicted to sense gratification. Those who love to enjoy life and engage their senses all the time in gratifying the senses. There is another class of people, there are very few, who are interested in coming out of this entanglement, which is known as the conditioned life under the three modes of material nature. For those who wants to free themselves from this, they are called mumukshus. Mumukshus means one who wants to free themselves from this entanglement with material life. And then there is a third category, which is very, very rare, is what is known as Jivanmuktas. Jivanmuktas means those who are already liberated. Now, according to Sukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that these childhood pastimes of Krishna are enjoyed by all three of these categories, namely the Vishayis, the Mumukshus, and the Jivanmuktas. All three of them equally enjoy the pastimes of Krishna. Childhood pastimes of Krishna are specifically geared to all kinds of people. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, you can see that the gopis who were virtually in the mode of ignorance, that is how what their state of consciousness was. And from that consciousness, Krishna brought them to the highest consciousness, which is Nirguna, even above the three modes of material nature. It is just to show the potency of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and similarly the devotees of Krishna, that they have this capacity to elevate one who is even in the mode of ignorance to the highest mood above the three modes of material nature. So in the Bhagavatam, while reference to this, it specifically, one after the other, Sukadeva Goswami continuously speaks about the childhood of Krishna, just to make us realize that somehow or the other, if your mind is attracted to it, then you can come out from the conditioned state, and that will elevate one's consciousness into the higher planes of higher planes. So in relationship with that, there is one of the pastimes mentioned in the Bhagavatam is the day when Krishna was tied onto the mortar by Mother Yashoda. That particular day, so many things happened in Mother Yashoda's house. And this particular incident, when it happened, Krishna was actually tied to the mortar, and there were so many other plans ahead in Krishna's mind to perform on that day. This is how Sri Shogan presents this in the Bhagavatam. The reason for saying that is that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when he accepts a childhood, that childhood cannot go in vain. It has to have its all, the beauty of a childhood will manifest in Krishna's childhood. It's not like normally when the children are very dear to the parents or to the elders, only when they see their childhood activities, the childish nature in them, the childish way of doing things, these things attract the human mind. It's a known thing. And that is why Krishna is worshipped in this childhood form for this reason only, that Krishna's childhood is so different than anyone else, and there is no other childhood even till today which is comparable to Krishna's childhood. And that particular day when Krishna was tied onto the mortar, Krishna had another plan of liberating two other personalities the same day, Nalagubera and Manigriva. They are referred to as Nalagubera and Manigriva. This Nalagubera and Manigriva, they were the children of Kuvera. Kuvera is Vaishravana, who is the wealthiest person, a devotee of Lord Shiva. But although a devotee of Lord Shiva, and although a very elevated personality, his children, they started going in the wrong direction. In other words, his activities, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will find there how the two boys, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, how they fell down from their position as yakshas. They were yakshas. And yakshas was a species of life. From there, they enjoy tremendously. Material standard, as far as they are concerned, is far, far superior to us. And this Nalakuvera and Manigriva started enjoying their life. And one day it so happened, where Ganga River begins from the Himalayas, not far from there, where it is known as Alagananda, they were bathing in that river along with some women from the heavenly planets. They were all enjoying swimming and playing in the water very freely, each other, splashing water at each other. And different ways they were trying to enjoy their time in the river. So when this was happening, unfortunately, Nalagovera and Manigriva were a little bit intoxicated as well. So they were intoxicated. In addition to that, they were associating with this heavenly women from the heavenly planets, Apsaras women. And they were altogether having a good time in the river. It was then that Sri Narada Maharshi came that way and he suddenly saw them doing this. And Narada Muni immediately recognized who they were. They were the children of Kuvera or Vaishnava. And when they saw Narada Muni, they did not have even the courtesy to cover themselves with the clothes. They were bathing in the water without clothes. And as well as the women from the heavenly planets also. The women from the heavenly planets, as soon as they saw Narada Muni, they covered themselves and felt shy, and at the same time tried to stay away from Narada Muni and not to offend him. But Nalagovera and Manigriva, unfortunately, didn't do anything. On the other hand, Srimad Bhagavatam says that they completely became intoxicated with the drinks. They became so affected by that they started offensive to Sri Narada Maharshi. Now, what caused this for these two boys to do this? And there are various things mentioned there, that the three levels of intoxication which has affected them. Nalakuvera and Manigriva were affected by three kinds of intoxication. What were they? One, both of them were young, and because of the youth, the pride that has gone in due to the youthfulness in the body and the pride associated with that. So they had the pride due to the youth. Secondly, they were the children of the wealthiest person. Vaishravana was very wealthy, and Lord Shiva has given him this position as the wealthiest person. And because of the wealth and the opulences, they became very proud, and they also became very offensive because of that. In addition to these two things, they did the third thing. What was that? They have taken this intoxicant. The result of that, they were proud because of that as well. So due to all these three things, they were so intoxicated with the pride of this that they never felt any kind of respect for Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Muni thought himself at that time that let them experience what happens when they offend a devotee or a Vaishnava or a sage like Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni told them that because you have become so dull in your head, not knowing how to act properly and can't control your senses, stay there for a few hundred years in the form of a tree and experience this harsh material nature. As soon as they were cursed by Sri Narada Muni, Nalakumera and Manigriva realized that they have no choice now except to accept that body. They tried to apologize to Sri Narada Muni and ask for forgiveness, but Narada Muni told them that the only option they have is to wait till Krishna comes and takes them out of that body. Now, this is where this pastime becomes more clear. In fact, Krishna, in different pastimes and during the childhood, has exhibited different kinds of yogic power. As Krishna is referred to many times, Mahayogin, Yogeshwara, Yoga Yogeshwara, so many things people addressed Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita also. Why Krishna has been addressed like this? Because the kind of the perfection of yoga is in Krishna. No one else is perfect in the yoga system except Krishna. So because Krishna is so perfect in all yogic powers, sometimes or the other, during all the childhood pastimes, Krishna has exhibited some kind of yogic power in all situations. When he was tied down to the mortar, and when he, that particular day morning, after he was put into that condition by Mother Yashoda, immediately he recognized that today was the day, the last day of the curse which was imposed on Nalakavera and Manigriva from Sri Narada Muni, and is it not my duty to go and release them from that bondage. Thinking that, Krishna started moving towards these two trees who were standing there in Vrindavanam. Nalakavera and Manigriva were standing as two trees near Krishna's house. In the Nanda Maharaj's house, they were standing there, and Krishna started moving towards the trees. Now, the mortar, which was longer, which was lying at Krishna's back, normally it would have gone in the longer form, in the longitudinal way. But Krishna decided that it should turn in the cross way, so that it can block the trees. Alpanurvesha matrena tiryangadamulughalam, Srimad Bhagavatam says there. Shishuan says to Parikshit Maharaj, sometimes when Krishna applies his yogic power, sometimes it is not even noticed how the mortar, which was lying in the longitudinal way, turned the other way and started in a cross way behind him, so that it, when Krishna goes through the trees, it pulls both the trees along with it. Atmanurvesha matrena tiryangadamulughalam. Krishna was only 2 or 3 years old, and he was pulling this mortar behind him. And standing there, he thought in his mind, let the mortar turn the other way. And immediately it turned. That is why it says there, Alpanurvesha matrena tiryangadamulughalam. Ulughalam, the mortar turned in opposite way. And immediately Krishna started moving through these two trees, Nalakavera and Manigriva. As soon as the mortar hit the trees fell down. And from the trees appeared these two yakshas, Nalakavera and Manigriva, and they got their human form. They got their human form, and when they got it, immediately they stood up and started paying their respects to Krishna. And there is a long series of verses in the Bhagavatam of prayers of Nalakavera and Manigriva to Krishna. And when they were praying like this, Krishna was not listening to it. Krishna didn't care anything when they were praying, when they were glorifying Krishna. And those prayers are very wonderful prayers, in the sense that Nalakavera and Manigriva are very well educated. Educated by who? By Lord Shiva. They were educated by Lord Shiva. In addition to that, they were the children of one of the wealthiest people, wealthiest family they come from. So aristocracy, they didn't lack anything. So their prayers also, in the same way, is very aristocratic way of praying to Krishna. Different people, when they pray to Krishna, they pray in different way according to their mind. Some people, ordinary nature is such that they will see in Krishna in a simple way. Some people, they cannot, like Lord Brahma, when he prays to Krishna, he prays in such a way that his prayers are very elegant, in the sense full of knowledge and full of enunciation. And such kind of prayers comes from Brahma. Similarly, ordinary people, when they pray to Krishna, for example, Kunti Devi, when she prayed to Krishna, her prayers are different again. But here you will find Nalakavera and Manigriva prayed in such a way that Krishna, although prayed in a very, very nice way, very glorified, in a very wonderful way, Krishna did not give any attention to those prayers. Did not bother at all Nalakumera and Manigrava and standing and reciting all kinds of prayers, Krishna was not bothered at all about it. You can see, notice all these things in the Bhagavadam. This is how Bhagavadam is presenting all these different thinking of different devotees and Krishna's reciprocation to them. So it was at that point, earlier we saw, Atmanurvesha matrena tiryangadam ulukhalam. Ulukhalam turned up immediately as Krishna wanted. But here, in spite of the prayers from this Nalakuvera and Manigriva, Krishna was not at all responding. On the other hand, Krishna was thinking, the devotees say like this, that Krishna was thinking, instead of reciting all these verses and glorifying me, can they not release me from this bondage? Get me out of this rope which has been tied to this mortar. Instead of doing a standing there and talking about all these kind of things, Krishna was saying this. But it was then that suddenly it so happened that the two, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, Devarshime Priyatamo Yatidau Dhanadalmajam, that automatically they mentioned about Sri Narada Muni. When Narada Muni's name was mentioned, Krishna immediately became very conscious of it. They are the students of Narada Muni. Narada Muni had sent them. So when Krishna heard Narada Muni's name, immediately he gave up the all other activities and started listening to the prayers. In other words, Srimad Bhagavatam say that when a devotee goes to Krishna and approaches Krishna in a normal way, sometimes Krishna may not respond. But if the same approach is made through a devotee of Krishna, who is very dear to Krishna, like Sri Narada Muni, when they mentioned about, the moment they mentioned Narada Muni's name, Sri Shukan says to Parikshit, the whole scene changed completely. And Krishna says, Devarshime Priyadama Yadidau Dhanadalpajau, that this Devarshi, Sri Narada Muni is referred to, is very, very dear to me. And Yadidau Dhanadalpajau, that these children of Kuvera also are very dear to me, Krishna says. At that point, up to that point, there was no at all reference to that. So Sri Sukhan says to Parikshit that in all the pastimes of Krishna, you will notice so many wonderful things and how Krishna has taken note of certain things, and that will always be remembered by Krishna in his reciprocation with devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam, which is with all these childhood pastimes of Krishna, particularly from the beginning of the 10th canto, right up to the period when Krishna left Vrindavanam and went to Mathura, and later on the further activities up to that point, these childhood pastimes, Sri Shukana has spent a lot of enormous amount of time and energy to explain to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj relished these things and understood many, many things. All the prayers of this prayers of Nalakuvera and Manigriva is so wonderful that many, many things he mentioned about Krishna, but Krishna had no attraction for it. Krishna has done this many, many times. When Lord Brahma offended Krishna, and when he came back to pay his obeisances to Krishna, after realizing what mistake he has done, Brahma started paying obeisances to Krishna. So when he paid his obeisances, his face was on the top, looking up. So normally everyone, when they pay obeisances, you can see the face is down, isn't it? So normally the head is down like this. So Krishna started thinking, what is this man paying obeisances with his head up, looking upwards? You will see sometimes some people pay obeisances like this and all. All kinds of different ways, like Lord Brahma style. So here you will see that when they started paying obeisances to Krishna, Krishna wouldn't care, not at all bothered about it. He wasn't interested. Brahma's prayers in Bhagavatam runs to 50 or 60 verses. And all those, in each individual verse, if you start discussing that, there is so much of knowledge and renunciation. Jnanam and Vairagyam is complete in all those prayers of Brahma. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no other prayer which is so nicely composed, like Lord, after all, it is Lord Brahma. So the quality of the prayers has to be according to that standard. So Brahma has spoken such wonderful prayers. Krishna had no time to listen. Krishna says, where is all my friends? Where have they gone? You have been hiding them. Bring them back now. This was his mood at that time. He was interested. So this is how Krishna is. And all these beautiful activities and the childhood, what Krishna has performed in Vrindavanam during these first 12 years, are the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam and these childhood pastimes are that what brings people to Krishna. and that what attracts Krishna. Devotees for thousands of years released these childhood pastimes of Krishna. They studied, analyzed all scholars of Bhagavatam, devotees of Srimad Bhagavatam. They find extraordinary pleasure in studying these childhood pastimes. So I'll stop there and we'll start at 5. No, that prayers were spoken in two different conditions. For example, Brahma Samhita was a different prayers which was spoken glorifying Krishna in a different time. But this particular prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken after offending Krishna, that was the one which Krishna ignored totally. So, depending on the situation, it is not that Krishna had any animosity towards Brahma. What was happening was that Krishna is trying to tell Brahma that your position, I have so many like you reporting to me, it's not only you one. that he wanted to make it understand. Even personality like Brahma and Indra, they had to understand that position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so high that they, after all, in Brahma's request that he had come here. And this childhood pastimes in which he taught this lesson to Brahma is an indication to us that as soon as one gets proud in one's life, then spiritual life finishes there. Then and there it's over. Whether it's even up to Brahma, this can happen. So what's our position? This is what it means. That the great personalities like Brahma, with their offensive nature, if they have... Brahma is under mode of Rajogunam. Rajogunam is there. Sometimes it can manifest through Brahma also. And that Rajogunam means what? Rajogunam means pride. And pride and activity. So Rajodigaha, Karma Varaha, Dukheja Sukhamanina, Bhagavatam says. So this pride that has developed in Brahma's mind for a second, that he wanted to find out who is Krishna. After all, who is he? That is what he was asking. And he wanted to know, he wanted to say to Krishna that, I am Brahma, you are Krishna, you have taken a human body, Martyam Krishna Ubhashritya, you have taken a human body and come here, so you are under my control. This was Brahma's mood. But Krishna says, no, I am not under anybody's control. And that is why that specific pastime in the childhood, there are so many pastimes like this which attracts the minds of the devotees.
Prabhuji, isn't it also that Sri Krishna was behaving exactly as a 2 or 3 year old child, so he wouldn't be interested in all these complicated prayers. He was more interested in playing.
That was the way he was acting, but he was knowing...
Well.
Externally he was acting like that. Oh, I have not interest in any of your prayers, I don't understand. But Krishna knew everything what was going on through Brahma's mind. And before Brahma went back to the Brahmaloka, what did he see there? He saw another Brahma sitting there on the chair with peacock feather on his head. And when the actual Brahma went back, his own servant stopped him from getting back there. They didn't let him in. They told him that he said to them that I pay your salaries and you are not letting me in. And they said to him that we don't know you. He said, when the Brahma, because another Brahma was sitting inside. And Brahma felt so disgusted that day, disappointed with everything what happened. That's why if you read his prayers, you will see how he was apologizing constantly to Krishna for what he has offended, what he has done. So externally everything looks, oh, after all he is a child. Although in that childhood, what he has manifested was his supreme potency also, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, yes. They approach Krishna in lust. That's why they are called in the mode of ignorance. But although in the mode of ignorance, how to show the powerful nature of Krishna's association, that from that position they are brought into the highest mode of Nirguna Bhakti.
Nakula and Sahadeva,
Nalakuvera and Manigriva, yes.
Manigriva, yes. Well, It's said that it's very difficult to go from the heavenly planets to the spiritual world because the standard of living is so high, one is not so interested in spiritual life, that normally one has to incarnate back as a human being on this middle planet in order to go back to the spiritual world, have an opportunity to practice devotional service. And yet here we see two demigods who were not only just enjoying themselves, but they offended the great devotee Narada Muni. And yet they ended up more fortunate than any of the other demigods because they got this sort of curse and blessing, which was mostly a blessing because they ended up taking part in Lord Krishna's childhood pastimes and going straight back to Godhead like that. They were extremely fortunate, so I don't understand that.
They didn't go
part of the story that isn't there about their previous lives.
No, they didn't go back to Godhead. Actually, no. They were released from their curse and they got back to their position as the sons of Kubera. In other words, they went back to the heavenly planets again. They didn't go back to the spiritual world, no. What has happened was the curse was there for so many hundreds of years to stand there. And as soon as Krishna, Narada Muni gave this benediction that you will meet Krishna when he comes down here and Krishna will release you from this state of form of trees in the tree body. They'll be able to come out from that and go back to the body as Nalakuvera and Manigriva. So that's what has happened.
It doesn't seem fair though, does it?
No, well, you have
they
to...
They made the offense and then they got the reward of association with Krishna. Normally in Bhagavatam things are very much like what those associates of Krishna, especially you see Krishna's parents, Lord Chaitanya's parents, they're making prayers like, oh, what great pious acts we must have done in previous lives to get the association of Krishna with our son.
Yeah. In the case of Nalakuvera and Manigriva, there is more to it than that. That basically, their father was a very close associate of Lord Shiva, particularly his father Kubera. Kubera was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva has given many benedictions to him. That Sri Krishna Pada Bhakti, and one of the benedictions he has given that, you will have devotion for Krishna. And that is something, when you receive devotion from Lord Shiva, it's something very special, which is not like ordinary people's benediction. And there is all these kinds of things comes in there. Although they were offensive to Narada Muni, Narada Muni realized that these are children of Lord Shiva, children of Kubera, who is a close associate of Lord Shiva. So when he cursed them, his intention was not to hurt them badly, rather to correct them. That's how much he wanted to do it. But let them not act like this in the future, intoxicated with... after all, they have right to get intoxicated because they live in the heavenly planets under the heavenly conditions. And it is not unusual in that yaksha's body to enjoy. These Gandharvas and yakshas by nature, they are people who enjoy material life in a much higher standard. Their sense gratification is much higher compared to us. Singing, dancing and drinking, enjoying, this is their way of life. So they have that permission given to them by the arrangement of the nature. That is not being restricted. But Narada Muni's complaint was that when Sri Narada Maharshi came that way, that they have acted in this particular way there, that was not proper. That he should have had decency not to behave in that way. Especially in front of saintly people. So that's what offended Narada Muni and forced him to punish them in that way.
There are some point or more. As mentioned, Lord Shiva blessing them to them get devotion to Krishna.
Yes.
How can we understand? Does devotees understand different ways to it? What kind of devotees Lord Shiva awards the devotion to Lord Krishna? Because somebody is approaching Lord Shiva for material things mostly. At what time Lord Shiva blesses a devotee to get devotion to Krishna?
People approach different demigods under different modes of nature. Those who are worshippers of Lord Shiva, who are used to worshipping Lord Shiva, at some point in time when Lord Shiva become merciful to them, they remove their material desires and offer them Krishna consciousness. to them, that they will be blessed by. Like Vishnuswami Sampradayam, if you take, it comes from Lord Shiva. And all the acharyas in the Vishnuswami tradition, they were all blessed by Lord Shiva's mercy. That is what, like Lord Brahma's mercy is carried in the Sampradayam. And similarly, Lord Shiva's mercy is carried through all around for all the acharyas in the Vishnuswami tradition. So virtually you can say that Lord Shiva, when he is really pleased with you, with your attitude in spiritual life, then he will offer you Krishna consciousness as the prize for it. But if you approach him with a desire for acquiring wealth or fame or any other material opulences, he will offer you that also. But it means that you are losing something what worthwhile what you could have got from him. Vilumangalam says in the Karnamrutam, Shaiva avayam nakalu tatra vicharaniyam. We are all Shaiva Brahmanas, he says. They were born in the family of the Shaiva Dvijas, or in other words, Shiva Brahmanas. They were worshippers of Lord Shiva. And from that position, he was chanting not Narayana or Hare Krishna. He was chanting Namashivaya. Namashivaya, Namashivaya, he chanted all along. And chanting this Panchakshara Mantram, as it's called, Shiva gave him Krishna consciousness. He told him, you become a first-class devotee of Krishna. And he became in due course. So you can see Lord Shiva, if you ask the right thing to Lord Shiva, it will end up in a proper way at the end. You could become a devotee of Krishna. And that devotion, when Lord Shiva offered something, that will be very proper devotion also.
Yeah,
he is Krishna's grandson, they call him. Grandson. Brahma is his son and Krishna, and Shiva is his grandson. Krishna's grandson he is.
Lord Shiva is Krishna's
grandson.
Not Brahma's son.
He is Brahma's son, but Krishna's grandson. Shiva is Krishna's grandson, isn't he? If you look at it the way creation is.
Grandson.
Oh, grandson, yes.
Yes, grandson.
Yes.
Krishna's grandson.
That's right, yeah.
But very nice, Brahma's grandson.
No, Brahma's son.
Okay, Brahma's son. Okay, that's right. But what my question is that the same Shivji that people worship, the one that came out from the forest, the Brahma?
Yeah.
One of the 12 Rudras.
Ekadasha Rudras. There are 11 Rudras total. Right. In the creation, it mentions that there are Ekadasha Rudras existing. The Shiva whom we worship in this material world is that Shiva's manifestation Kailas, Mount Kailas, who is present as the who is responsible for the destruction of the annihilation of the universe. He is one of the forms of that Shiva which came out. And those who worship Lord Shiva Jagadap Pidarav Vande Parvati Parameshwarav. Shri Parvati and Shri Parameshwara, or Lord Shiva, is referred to as the father and the mother of the universe. From this viewpoint, because at the time of destruction, they take responsibility. Durga Devi Shri Parvati takes responsibility of the Maya's energy, Maya energy in this world, and Lord Shiva takes responsibility of the annihilation at the end.
Has Lord Shiva understood from Bhagavatam that also Lord Brahma at one point has to give up his body?
Yes.
Before he returns to the
spiritual world, yes.
Or he has a very great lifespan.
Yes, yes. Yes. No, Lord Shiva goes back to spiritual world, and then when comes back again, when he the next annihilation is over, and when he comes back again during the creation, but he doesn't change his body. Okay, I will. We start at 5:00. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Govinda, 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 Govin Thank you. Shrupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Ashoka Rasadashri Shriman, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharashila Prabhupada Ki, Jayam Natrila Pravishtoma Shrupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Ashtotra Shadeshri Shriman, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Maharashila Prabhupada Ki, Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Namajari Shila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Soho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govindana Shyama Kunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhana Ki, Vrindavan Dham Ki, Mayapur Dham Ki, Madhuravari Dham Ki, Jagannathpuri Dham Ki, Dwaragapuri Dham Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Yamuna Mai Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gaur. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shiva Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dhanami. Namaste Sarasudevam Bhavirvani Prajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityanandam. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityanandam. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityanandam. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadadim Supadandiyam. Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhanvitam Scham. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharine Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine. Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daidaya Kribabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnanam Daide Prabhave Namaham. Madhuryujvala Premagnir Shri Rubanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostude. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rubanuga Viruddhava Siddhanta Dvandaharine. Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambhara Sambhode Padambhujayade Namaham. നമോ ഭക്തി വിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദ നാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപാനുഗവരായ ദേം ഗൗരാവിർഭവ ഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദോഷ സജ്ജന പ്രിയാഹ വൈഷ്ണവ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ ദേ നമ വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യയേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമിം ഭക്തസാത്വികം. നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയതം സുരദൗപാംഗോർ മമം മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്യ പദാം ഭോജോ രാധാ മദനമോഹനോ. ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദോ ശ്രീമൽരത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാ ശ്രീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻവേണുസ്വനേ ഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയേസ്തുനാഃ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. സോ yesterday was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day and although we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam because we owe so much debt to all the great personalities who have preserved Krishna consciousness in its pure form in this world, we owe this to them, to remember them at their appearances and disappearances time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, who wanted to educate this world in the science of Krishna consciousness in its pure form, appeared roughly 500 years ago and taken out this nectar from Srimad Bhagavatam and presented it in the way that has actually influenced many, many generations from then on. Mahaprabhu's contribution in preserving Krishna consciousness, particularly through the through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, is so valuable that when Srila Prabhupada presented Srimad Bhagavatam to this world, many, many personalities were actually stunned by the approach Prabhupada has taken, which was actually originally influenced by or originally instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Mahaprabhu, during the travels in India, had opportunity to discuss in his time with many, many great personalities. And in all these discussions, the important factor that always came about was the ultimate goal in Krishna consciousness, the ultimate purpose of life, and that too, how to attain that position of the supreme understanding or surrendering to the supreme personality, Krishna. So Krishna consciousness, many times before in the past, people used to think that Krishna is another incarnation of the Mahavishnu. That was the misunderstanding many people had. Now many people used to think Krishna is another incarnation of Vishnu. And they have not forgotten to include Krishna also among one of the other major incarnations. But ever since from the time of Jayadeva Goswami and from then on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others, they have pointed out this one misunderstanding among the Acharyas, that Krishna is not another incarnation of Vishnu. Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he established this principle through the verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is why this particular contribution by Mahaprabhu in establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and giving us the conditioned souls of this world to go back home, back to Godhead through this easiest and the most sublime process of Krishna consciousness has gone to influence so many persons in this world. So generally speaking, those who study Srimad Bhagavatam, they are always curious to find out how other devotees see Srimad Bhagavatam is. It is natural when you are reading some particular book, naturally you like to understand from others also how they found that book or how they found what's interesting in that book. And it is in the background of that I was trying to read from Chaitanya Charitamritam that Mahaprabhu's understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the way Mahaprabhu discussed Bhagavatam with one of his greatest devotees, Ramananda Roy. So while discussing this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not forgotten to establish the supremacy of Krishna over all other incarnations. And this is the greatest achievement from that discussion. That Mahaprabhu has not left Krishna and authorizing Krishna as the Supreme Personality. And to establish that, Mahaprabhu has gone through different phases in his discussions with Ramananda Roy. Normally, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in Ekadasha Skandam, while referring to the different processes of self-realization or the processes to go back to the spiritual world, basically there are three main processes, Karmam, Jnanam and Bhakti. These three processes are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the main processes. Krishna says there is no other processes outside these three. All other processes are either supplementing these three, Karma Margam, Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam. Mahaprabhu, when he discussed Srimad Bhagavatam with Ramananda Roy, has asked questions in such a way, if you read through them and you can see that how Mahaprabhu was relishing the conclusions of the Bhagavatam coming from Ramananda Roy's mouth. Ramananda Roy was speaking, although prompted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he himself admits in his conversations with Mahaprabhu, that I am speaking because you are making me to speak like this. That is how he says all the time. But although he is saying that, Mahaprabhu wanted Ramananda Roy to say this, that these conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam proves the point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To establish that, Mahaprabhu asked several questions to Ramananda Roy. And Mahaprabhu wanted the answers from Ramananda Roy. And he discussed each and every answer in the light of these replies from Ramananda Roy. That is what we find in the discussions. So prior to coming to that stage of discussion, Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, when they met with each other on the banks of this river Godavari river in Andhra Pradesh, where Ramananda Roy happened to be in the same place where Mahaprabhu was at that time, and they met with each other by Krishna's arrangement, and in that discussion, Mahaprabhu wanted Ramananda Roy to come out with all the conclusions of the Vedic literature. This is not an easy job to say openly what is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. If you ask anybody, any scholars in the Vedic religion, Vedic philosophy, they will all come out with different conclusions. This is the beauty of the Vedic literature. Now, if you say like that, why is this different conclusion? Naturally, this question will come. Because generally, people want one answer. They don't want 10 answers. For every question, they want straight answer and one answer. Nothing more than that. But unfortunately, from the Vedic literature, it is the answers are not given like that. The answers are given and understood according to the person who receives the answer. It is not the fault of the literature. It is the actually what is known as the three modes of nature that is causing the changes in the answer. When the Vedic literature was discussed, you will notice one thing, that apart from these three processes of karmam, jnanam and bhakti, there are many, many other conclusions as well from the Vedic point of view. And these conclusions, as you see from the discussions, you will notice there that those who hear Vedic literature or read Vedic literature come to different conclusions according to their modes of nature. It's the modes of nature, just like if there is a lamb, if you look at the lamb through different colors, you will all see that lamb through different colors. Although the lamb has one color, the glass through which you look at the lamb will determine in what way you are going to see the lamb. Exactly the same way, the way you look at Vedic literature through the frame of mind, depending on the particular mode of nature, your process of worship also and the philosophy you follow also will vary accordingly. That is why these different kinds of conclusions have come from Vedic literature. In one instance, Uddhava asked Krishna, why there are so many answers? Some sages are saying this, some sages are saying something different, and Vedic conclusions is all of them are correct also. But if they all of them are correct, then what is the best then? That's the question also comes there. So for those who wants to know the conclusions of Vedic literature, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to bring Ramananda Roy into that discussions and wanted to expand that on this particular point so that people who are thoughtful, who can think and understand the things, will study them. And in Chaitanya Charitamritam, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presented those conclusions for our understanding. So, just like in the Vedic conclusions, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is concluded by all the great authorities, great acharyas in the Vedic tradition. All the acharyas have accepted that Krishna is Paripurna Tamam. Paripurna Tamam means there is no other incarnations ever before happened who has presented or who has manifested the complete absolute truth. The completion of the absolute truth in reference to Vedavyasa Maharshi says Bhagavan. Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan. Edeja amshakala pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality Himself. There is not another amshavadaram or kalavadaram or gunavadaram. Neither amsham nor kala. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So because of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked this question these questions are so important in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one remembers these questions and answers, automatically that will answer many of the questions of the Vedic literature, conclusions of the Vedic literature. For example, Mahaprabhu asked the first question to Ramananda Roy, what is the best education in this world? This is a question pondering all of us, isn't it? What is the best education? We come here, we spend 60, 70 years, we learn all kinds of garbage, and then we leave. This is our so-called education. But that education, which ultimately will release oneself from this conditioned existence and take him back to Godhead, that answer from Bhagavadam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy thought about this in detail and he came up to the correct conclusion, and Mahaprabhu was totally pleased when he heard the answer. What was the answer? Answer is so good. Why? Because that answer, what Ramananda Roy spoke to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the same thing what Prahlad is given to Hiranyakashipu. Because probably Mahaprabhu knew that there's a lot of mini Hiranyakashipus in this world today. And these Hiranyakashipus will better understand if it is spoken in that language of Prahlada. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Alpanivedanam Idivam Sarpido Vishno Bhaktischer Navalakshanam Kriyadin Bhagavati Dhatan Manyedhidam Uttamam. When, you see, when Prahlada came to sit on Hiranyakashipu's lap, Hiranyakashipu asked him, "My dear son, you have been to school. When the children go to school normally for the first day in their education, actually this modern education is such an interesting education that the first day they go in, the children are like this. They'll go first day and they will learn a lot of things. And when they come back home that day, they want to tell the parents all what they have learned that day. This is in all children. Normal nature is like that." So Prahlada came back after a few days. One day when Hiranyakashipu felt happy about it, about his son getting educated, he called Prahlada and told Kayadhu, his wife, to bring him over. Kayadhu brought Prahlada. Prahlada was sat on his lap and Hiranyakashipu questioned Prahlada, "Tell me, my son, what have you learned today at the school?" Hiranyakashipu thought his dearmost son is going to tell him something which will be very close to his ideology or principles. But his answer was, "Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam." First thing what one should do in this world is, Prahlada is saying, Shravanam. Hear about what? And Kirtanam, glorifying. Who? Vishnor Smaranam, about Vishnu or Krishna. That is what first thing one should do. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. So these nine processes, Idivam Sarpido Bhaktya Bhaktischer Navalakshanam, these nine things if one does, that is what is called Tanmanyedhidam Uttamam. It is the best education, Prahlad says to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu looked at him and thought, who is teaching all this garbage to him? This was his answer. Where is this coming from? The moment he heard the word Vishnu, he couldn't tolerate that. He was in such an agony when he heard, because he was frightened of Vishnu, first of all. Vishnu is waiting somewhere to kill him. And that was his mood. And he hears from this first son, 5-year-old son is coming and telling him, after coming back from the school, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam Idivam Sarpido Vishnu Bhaktischernavalakshana Kriyade Tadadadhyay Manyedhadhyedam Uttamam Kriyade Bhagavatyeda Tanmanyedhidam Uttamam. That is what Prahlada says to Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, I do not know why Mahaprabhu wanted this answer to come here. Did he think that this is the kind of education going to be in the future? Was that in his mind when he wanted Ramananda Roy to say this? At that time, I do not know. But if you bring that in to the context of the modern education, I think is Prahlada's answer on education is the correct educational policy. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnor Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. These nine processes is the one what one has to follow in life. If these nine processes are accepted and adopted in life, Ramananda Roy said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the perfect education. Mahaprabhu was happy with the answer. So when this happened, then the next question from Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy, if this is the best education, that's not going to make much money in life, is it? He's not going to make much money with this kind of education. So Mahaprabhu straight away took to the next point, because generally the feeling in the modern world is education is for making money. If you're not making money, what's the point in wandering around this world? You should make as much as you can with the so-called education. So his education, this Prahlada's education is useless. It's not going to make much money. So straight away Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy that, who is the richest man or wealthiest man in the world? Because people have this misconception. if I ask my son to waste his time to chant Hare Krishna, maybe he will drop out from the university and start chanting, and one day he will have no money. So what's going to happen to him? Who is going to make the money? Who is going to continue the so-called family tradition and maintain everything in this world? So all these questions, maybe that was in their mind, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is the wealth and who is the richest person or the richest capitalist in this world? That is what Mahaprabhu asked. So straight away, Ramananda Roy answered the question that what is wealth? He says to him, at different times in the history, if you look back, you will see different things are considered to be wealth. That is also another interesting thing. As much as the consciousness of the people are changing, and as much as it is degrading from age to age, from Kritam Traida Dwabaram Kali, as it came to Kali Yuga, the consciousness has become such that lot of money, lot of cash in the bank, stocks, shares, all this has become wealth. At one time, you will see, in the history, not long ago, land was considered to be wealth, isn't it? Many places, people had thousands of acres of land, big feudal lords. They used to manage so much of land, property, that was considered to be wealth. Some other instances, gold was considered to be wealth. People were rushing for, mad rush for the gold to the west. That was going on, to collect as much gold as possible, because gold was considered wealth at that time. But these things, wealth, land, all these kind of wealth, they do not last. This is the where the discrimination comes in. That wealth acquired in this manner, that leaves you here, leaves with the body. You leave the body, and with the body the wealth also stays back here. And you go from here. Whatever time you have here, after that is finished, one has to leave. One is forced to leave that so-called wealth, what he has acquired all his life, struggling very hard, whatever millions and millions of pounds, whatever it is, he has to, in 1 second, he has to say goodbye to that wealth. Therefore, in the Krita Yugam, in Satyugam, people had that intelligence to understand these things, whereas when it came to Kali Yugam, this is the only wealth, everything else is useless. Just see how the change of consciousness is. That in Krita Yugam, people considered tapasya or austerities as the wealth. And you can see from Kardama Prajapati's story in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Swayambhu Manu, who was the principal Manu at that time, the first Manu, or the greatest emperor of this planet, he wanted to marry his daughter, he says there, to the most wealthy person in this world, who did not even have a bed to sleep. This is the kind of bridegroom he has selected. Swayambhu Manu brought Devahuti Devi, married her to Kardama Prajavari, who was living in the forest underneath the tree, and had all he had. The word Kardama means mud. That is what actually means in the language. Kardama means mud itself. In other words, after performing austerities and penances for so many thousands of years, the body has shrunk. The bones were there. The flesh has all disappeared. Everything has gone. Only astigada prana, they are referred to as astigada prana. In other words, they could live simply with the help of bones alone. Meat, flesh was not necessary in the body. To such an extent that they have lost their, due to austerities, they have lost everything in the body. Not only that, this Kardama Prajapati has forgotten to earn anything in his life. He had nothing with him. But when Swayambhu Manu brought Devahuti Devi and presented her in marriage to Kardama Prajapati, there were tears coming from the eyes of Swayambhu Manu. Why? Sri Shukan asked to Parikshit, were there tears due to his sadness or due to his happiness? This question raised there. Sri Shukan says to Parikshit, there was nobody more happy than Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa Devi, Swayambhu Manu's wife, that they found a bridegroom like this in marriage for their Devahuti Devi. They were considering how fortunate they were to find a bridegroom like Kardama Prajapati. What does that mean? Because they knew that Kardama Prajapati was the wealthiest person in this world, because those days tapasya or austerity was considered as wealth. So that is how it was. It was in different times, different things. So Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, who is the greatest, wealthiest person in this world? Ramananda Roy's answer was, one who has attachment for Srimati Radharani and Krishna. They are the wealthiest people. Who have got the greatest love for Krishna and Radharani, they are considered to be the wealthiest, not those who have got millions and millions of pounds in the bank or in other investments. That is not considered to be wealth from the spiritual point of view. That is just in relationship with the body, that's finished. And when you leave the body, you leave your millions also here. So Mahaprabhu took it further from there. Question after question coming from Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy, answer to that. The next answer, question was, what is the greatest distress in this world? If you ask somebody, what is the greatest distress in this world? At that too, you should ask a materialist. Only then you will get the right answer from him. He will give you such fantastic answers. Oh, I couldn't go to the pub today. That's his greatest distress. And somebody else will say that, I broke up with my girlfriend today. This is another distress. These are his distresses in this world. Mahaprabhu's distress, Ramananda Roy's distress is not this. These are not considered at all in the equation. Mahaprabhu asked this question to Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy's answer was, when you are separated from a devotee of Krishna, that is the greatest distress. Mahaprabhu kept this in his mind, and that is precisely the reason he mentioned in his Shishtashtagam. What did he say? That Mayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgada ruddhaya giraha pulage nijidam kadavabhu tavannam agrahane bhavishyadim ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karoduva yatha tathava vidhadadulam pado matprananathastuna yevanaparaha. That Mahaprabhu is mentioning in different verses in the Shikshashtagam that when he is separated from a devotee or when he is not able to yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahenamem. When he is separated from Krishna, that means he is separated from a devotee of Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur says about that in few instances that when you have no association with the devotee, that is the time you should feel the greatest distress. Not that when you broke your relationship with a girlfriend or when you lost your visit to the pub. That is not the distresses of this world. That is a distress because of your sense gratification that they became a distress for us. But actual distress, strictly speaking, the real distress of this world is that when one do not get an opportunity to associate with devotees of the Supreme Personality Krishna. That is why he asked this specific question, what is distress in this world? Ramananda Roy promptly answered, when you have no association with a devotee, that is the greatest distress. Mahaprabhu congratulated him for that. Straight away, he asked him, what is the greatest happiness in this world, or the auspiciousness thing in this world to strive for? Straight away, Ramananda Roy said to him, when you have the association of a devotee, that is the greatest happiness. So you can see how valuable these things are, association with the devotee. Association of the devotee makes everything perfect in life. When you have no association, only then you will know. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many, many, many instances to bring this point to us. In several pastimes of Krishna, this point has been brought about again and again. When Akrura came to Vrindavanam, on instruction from Krishna, to take Krishna to Mathura, Kamsa has instructed Akrura to go to Vrindavanam and bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Akrura came there. Akrura came there one evening, stayed overnight, and next day morning he took Krishna and Balaram back to Mathura. So that evening, the gopis in Vrindavanam saw Akrura coming with the chariot. And they didn't know what the plan was, that Akrura had come to take Krishna away from there, Krishna and Balaram. So when they heard about the plan, they decided the next day to perform a kind of a garao there. So they all joined up together and they stood around the chariot of Akrura with Krishna and Balaram inside. It was suddenly by Krishna prompted from within that some of the gopis felt it is not proper to obstruct Krishna when he is trying to travel somewhere. It's considered to be inauspicious that you try to block the journey. So they decided at that time They closed their eyes and saw Krishna inside, and they decided not to block the journey or not to block the chariot on its way back to Mathura. So what happened at that time was, Krishna told Akrura to drive the chariot away as quickly as possible. Krishna could not, did not want to see the look at the gopis and feel their intense feeling of separation from Krishna. So Akrura drove the chariot so fast, the gopis got very badly hurt by that. Why did he do that? They thought themselves. And among the so many gopis who were present there, one of the gopis, just unknowingly from her mouth, a few words came out. What you have done today, you will experience the same distress one day. Later on, for driving the chariot so fast from us away, so that we could not see Krishna and Balaram for some more time, you did that so rudely that one day, Akrura, you will also suffer the same thing and experience what is separation from Krishna means. The conclusion of the many, many scholars on Srimad Bhagavatam is, it was because of this reason that Akrura had to leave Dwaraka and go and stay in Banaras for many, many years away from Krishna. Although a very strong devotee of Krishna, very closely attached to Krishna, Akrura was forced to go away from Krishna and stay in Banaras in Kashi for a long period of time. And later on, Krishna brought him back. And so that one gopi's word was enough that Akrura had to experience this. And Akrura felt what the separation means from Krishna or the devotees. So like this, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many different instances the same message is spoken. So when Ramananda Roy was asked by Mahaprabhu, what is the greatest distress? Mahaprabhu's answer was, greatest happiness? Happiness is when you are association with Krishna or the devotees. Or greatest distress is when you are separated from Krishna or devotees. So another two more questions answered. Then the next question was, what is best liberation? What is the most famous liberation? Mahaprabhu wanted to know from answers from Bhagavatam. He didn't want it from elsewhere. All these answers are in the Bhagavatam. Conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu wanted to bring it up and bring it clear to the minds of the devotees, so that in future, those who read Srimad Bhagavatam can see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Srimad Bhagavatam and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to these firm conclusions from Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the most highest liberation? What was the next question asked by Mahaprabhu? And Ramananda Roy answer was, Muktanam abhisiddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashandalma kodishabhi mahamunim. What a glorious explanation to liberation. Muktanam abhisiddhanam. There are so many people in this world who have achieved liberation. They have achieved liberation through different processes, jnana margam or bhakti margam or whatever it is, different processes. They've already come to the state of liberation. Mukta. And similarly, there are so many siddhas who have attained perfection in different mystic powers, siddhis. So Bhagavatam says, Muktanam abhisiddhanam narayana parayanam. But among all these things, one who is Narayana Parayana, or one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely, Sudurlabha, they are very, very rare. There are so many different personalities who are liberated, but those who are taken shelter of Krishna completely, they are very, very rare. This is the words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is spoken by who? It was spoken by the time, the Vritrasura's story in the sixth canto. That is where you will find this. That Sri Parvati was, Lord Shiva has talked to Sri Parvati about this. That various kinds, talking about the Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu was who had to accept the body of Vritrasura. And this Chitrakedu had experienced that he got cursed by Sri Parvati. That story is famous in the Bhagavatam. He got cursed by Sri Parvati, and Chitrakedu was, when Sri Parvati came to know that the prayers or glorification of Chitraketu was actually, he was glorifying Lord Shiva. But in the first instance, Sri Parvati thought that Chitraketu was very offensive. So Sri Parvati cursed him. And the result was that Chitraketu had to take the body of Rudrasura, a demon's body, he had to appear. Parishit Maharaj asked at that time to Sukadeva Goswami, why did this happen to Chitraketu? Chitraketu, so he had to say the whole story of Chitraketu at that time, and it was then that this issue came up. That Chitraketu mentioned it to Sri Parvati, that I have not meant anything wrongly by glorifying Lord Shiva, but whatever I have spoken, if you have misunderstood, this is how he said to Sri Parvati, if you have misunderstood whatever I have spoken, then please forgive me. That was his words to Sri Parvati. Sri Parvati later on understood that Chitraketu was not actually insulting or offending Lord Shiva. On the other hand, she realized, but then by then it was too late. Already she has cursed Chitraketu. So she said to Chitraketu, you should ask for a boon now to come out of this curse. Chitraketu said, no, I am not going to ask anything, he said. And when he said that, Sri Parvati looked at Lord Shiva's face, seeing his courage at that time, that he has been cursed to become a demon. Normally, if you are cursed by somebody like that, especially Sri Parvati, first thing what you will do is how to come out of it, isn't it? That's normal thing. What to speak about Sri Parvati? Even in this world, if somebody curses you, what will you do first? You will think about, how can I come out of that curse? If you are sensible about it. Some people say, oh no, let him curse, I don't care, I go in my way. So the person he is cursing, he keeps cursing, and the person who is listening, he keeps listening. So it doesn't matter. But when these personalities, transcendentalists, like Chitraketu, Sri Parvati and all that, when one word come out from their mouth, it means something, not like our speech. So Chitraketu, here you can see, Chitraketu said to Sri Parvati, Kshamyatam sadim, that if I have said something, my apologies, but I didn't mean anything to offend you or Lord Shiva. So she tried to persuade him to accept some kind of benediction, and he wouldn't. So eventually Sri Parvati asked Lord Shiva, why is he like this? Like, what is so great about this Chitraketu that he wouldn't even ask? It was then that Lord Shiva spoke about Chitraketu to Sri Parvati. That is where this is mentioned. Muktanam abhisiddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashandalma kodishvabhi mahamunim. Among the many, many crores and crores of people, millions and millions of people, there is very, very rarely a person who has surrendered to Krishna like this, in this way. So now you know how difficult it is to surrender. We will all claim, or we have all surrendered everything. But Srimad Bhagavatam says no. Out of the billions and billions, there is only one person who has actually surrendered to Krishna. That surrender is called Narayana Parayana. Parayana means that total surrender. You will see the same discussion between what happens in the sixth canto. Later on, when Navayogis, Kavi Hari Andariksha Prabodha Pipalayanin Avihota Drumala Chamasa Karavajana, the nine yogis, when they came to Nimi Maharaj's palace, there was a discussion also. And there the same discussion comes back again. Who is surrendered to Krishna? Who is surrendered to Krishna? Nimi Maharaj asked this question. Janaka Maharaj asked this question to one of the Navayogis there. I can't remember, it's one of them, Kavi or Hari, one of them answers that. Who is surrendered to Krishna? There is reply is mentioned there. In many, many verses, it talks about that. So surrendering to Krishna is not easy, as we may think about it. That surrender, muktanam abhisiddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashanda alpa kodishvabhi mahamunim. That sudurlabha, such a rare person, and he is prashanda alpa. He doesn't need anything else after that. He is not looking for anything, either in this world or in the next world. Iham or param. Either in this lifetime or in the next lifetime. That is what made the gopis to that reach that level of stage of realization. Krishna has brought them to that stage at one point in time. So this is the greatest liberation, said Ramananda Roy to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu appreciated that reply, because Mahaprabhu's point was that unless one takes total shelter of Krishna, his spiritual life is not complete. He may have become liberated. He may have achieved so many things in life due to his effort and by Krishna's mercy also. But surrendering to Krishna and become a pure devotee of Krishna, in total surrender, accepting and taking greatest pleasure in serving Krishna all the time, is the greatest liberation according to Mahaprabhu. And that is what Ramananda Roy confirmed that also. After that, there were a few more questions. And all these questions, if you see, are related to Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Bhagavatam and Mahaprabhu together, Mahaprabhu drawing from Ramananda Roy, the answers from Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu asked the next question to him, that what should one remember all the time? All the time, what should I remember? If you ask somebody, I'll say, oh, how many goals Manchester United has scored in the match in 1966 or 1968 against Arsenal. This will be what I'll be remembering deeply in my head. You can wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me. I'll say, no, who has scored the goal? Everything I can tell you. But that is the kind of our memory. This is what we have filled up our head with. But Mahaprabhu say, ask this question to the answer. He wanted the answer from Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy came promptly with the reply, because whole Srimad Bhagavatam is based on this verse, one particular verse, which you will find the first canto, second canto, 12th canto, in so many cantos, repeatedly again said the same thing. Tasmal sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrodavya kirti davyascha smartavyascha chada bhayam. Only this thing, nothing else. Tasmal, therefore, sarvatmana rajan, all the time, without any break. Mahaprabhu is, Ramananda Roy is saying from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit, that Parikshit, there is nothing else to think about too much. You have got still 7 days time left. What should you do? Tasmal sarvatmana rajan. All the time, focus your mind on only one thing. What? Hari sarvatra sarvada. All the time in relationship with Krishna. What is that? Shrodavya kirtidavyascha smartavya. Shravanam, kirtanam and smaranam. Shrodavya means to hear. Kirtidavyascha, kirtanam, to glorify. And smaranam, to remember. Nothing else. That's all. This is all the answer was. Nothing else to be done in this world. This was the answer from Mahaprabhu this was the answer of Ramananda Roy to Mahaprabhu. So you can see the conclusions what they have arrived at is what they have taken, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the essence of that Srimad Bhagavatam, so many places, Bhagavatam is bringing us all together to one and one point only, and that is to approach Krishna in the process prescribed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is to chant the holy names of Krishna. If one does not chant the holy name of Krishna, do everything else, his spiritual life is not complete. Why? That will come to that. Why it's not complete? Because there is an answer to that. It has to begin with the holy name. It ends with the holy name. It's the holy name of Krishna that is keeping spiritual life in this particular age recommended by the great authorities. And it is not what we do, what we like. We can't do what we like. We have to do what we have been instructed by the authorities. That is the spiritual discipline. It is not, if you start doing things on your own mind, what your mind dictates you to do, then you are not following any instructions of the Shastras. Shastras are saying that in this particular age of Kali, this is the process. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is the scripture. Tasmal sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada srodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyascha chadavayam. That after when this question was answered by Ramananda Roy, the next question what Mahaprabhu put forward was very interesting and very easily to misunderstand also. The question was, where should one live in this world? Where should one live? Should we live in Stanmore? Or should we stay in Lechmohit? Or should we live somewhere else? So when this question came up, the answer was, from Ramananda Roy was, Asamaho charanare nujushamaham syam വൃന്ദാവനെ കിമപി ഗൽമ ഔഷധീനം യാ ദുസ്ത്യജം സ്വജനം ആര്യപദം ജഹിത്വാബേജു മുകുന്ദ പദവിം ശ്രുതിപിർ വിമൃഗ്യം. ദിസ് വാസ് ദി ആൻസർ ഫ്രം രാമാനന്ദ റോയ്. രാമാനന്ദ റോയ് സെഡ് ടു ചൈതന്യ മഹാപ്രഭു, ആസാമഹോ ചരണരേണുജുഷാമഹം സ്യം, ഗ്ലോറിഫൈങ് ദി സുപ്രീം ലോർഡ്സ് സുപ്രീം അബോഡ് വൃന്ദാവനം. വൈ സോ സുപ്രീം? ബിക്കോസ് വൃന്ദാവനെ കിമപി ഗുൽമല ഔഷധീനം, ഓൾ ദി ഗ്രാസ് പ്ലാന്റ്സ് എവ്രിതിങ് ദർ ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ്, ബിക്കോസ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ഗ്രാസ് ത്രൂ വിച്ച് ദ ഗോപീസ് ഹാവ് വാക്ക് ത്രൂ. Not that Krishna has walked through, the gopis have walked through. That is what makes it more honorable. Ya dusyajam sojanam aryabadham chahitva. What is the qualification of the gopis? They gave up everything in their life for the sake of Krishna. That was their greatest qualification. And Krishna recognized that. In one point, Krishna says to them that you have done something what nobody else has done. What was that? Normally in their situation, they were married people. Most of them were married. And in the married relationship, from the Vedic point of view, to leave everything to come to associate with Krishna may have been considered as not appropriate. So because it was like that, that to give up that and to surrender to Krishna, you require a tremendous conviction and courage to do that. Ya dustyajam sojanam, one's own people they gave up. Sojanam. Aryabadam jahitva bejor mugunda badavim. To attain Krishna, they gave up everything. In other words, had they been rejected by Krishna, where could they have gone? They could not have. In other words, the risk they have taken in surrendering to Krishna was such that Krishna had to accept them. He had no choice except to admire their surrender to them, surrender to the Supreme Lord. And Krishna said to gopis, that what you have done, this sacrifice, I cannot repay. I cannot pay back this. Krishna acknowledges that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Krishna said these things, and Ramananda Roy said this to Mahaprabhu, normally we will take it that everybody should move to Vrindavanam straight away then, isn't it? That we can't live anywhere here, there's no point in living here anyway. That is not what it meant. That is not to be understood like that. Vrindavanam is not the Vrindavanam actually referred to the 84 square miles or whatever that is the area that is referred to. That is not actually Vrindavanam means. Prabhupada used to say that Vrindavanam actually means if you are fully Krishna consciousness. If your Krishna consciousness is good, you are in Vrindavanam. Prabhupada said that while in New York, many devotees asked him, would you not like to go to Vrindavanam? Prabhupada said, I am in Vrindavanam. Why should I go to anywhere else? So that Vrindavanam, which has been expanded from the original Vrindavanam in near Mathura, that Vrindavanam that belongs to the Goswamis, that Vrindavanam that has been built by the great, great devotees like Vilumangalam and many, many other great personalities who have come later on and who took Krishna consciousness and expanded that Vrindavanam, it is that Vrindavanam that is what is referred to. ആസാമഹോ ചരണരേണു ജുഷാമഹം സ്യം വൃന്ദാവനേ കിമപി ഗുൽമല ഔഷധീനം യാ ദുസ്ത്യജം സ്വജനം ആര്യപദം ജഹിത്വാ ബേജുർ മുകുന്ദപദവിം ശ്രുതിപിർ വിമൃഗ്യം. സോ രാമാനന്ദ റോയ് വാസ് നോട്ട് ലിവിംഗ് ഇൻ വൃന്ദാവനം. മഹാപ്രഭു ഡിഡ്ന്റ് ലിവ് ഇൻ വൃന്ദാവനം, ബട്ട് ദേ വർ ഇൻ വൃന്ദാവനം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് യു ഹാവ് ടു റിമെമ്പർ, ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദീസ് ഗ്രേറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ്, ഓൾ ദോ ഫിസിക്കലി ദേ വർ നോട്ട് ഇൻ വൃന്ദാവനം, but in consciousness they were in Vrindavanam. So they reached the state of Vrindavanam. So to live in that Vrindavana consciousness is the important thing. You may be physically in Vrindavanam, but you may be planning something else there after going to Vrindavanam. So you're not in Vrindavanam at that time. You are actually in Vrindavanam when you are actually in Krishna consciousness. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, that is why in the old tradition also, everyone could not go to Vrindavanam and live there. But in whatever circumstances they live, they created Vrindavanam through the association with Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam offered that Asamaho Charanarena Jushamaham Syam, that even a dust from the fallen off from these gopis, which has touched the plants and the trees there, that can actually create that Vrindavana consciousness. That is the kind of adoration and worship Uddhava and so many other great devotees later on has has shown in their relationship with the gopis. Vrindavane kimabi gulmalada ushadhinam yadustyayam svajanam ayavadam jahitva bejur mugundavadavim sudhaviru vimargyam.
That one automatically comes to that state of Krishna consciousness that he is in Vrindavanam, no matter in which situation, what situation he is living.
So this is the next question what Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was not willing to give up there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not willing to give up there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was encouraging Ramananda Roy to come out with more answers to different questions. Immediately he put the next question to him that what should one sing in this world? What should be the song you should sing? Or what kind of religious principles should be sung in this world? That Ramananda Roy could not even wait for a second to give the answer, because the answer was right on the tip of his tongue. Because this consciousness of Ramananda Roy, if you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will see that a personality through Srimad Bhagavatam associated with Krishna to such an extent that he could not for a second stay away from Krishna. Krishna was always with him. And therefore, any time, as soon as you raise a question, the answer straight away comes out. Without, it doesn't have to wait and think where the answer is. Answer is straight on the tip. He says to Mahaprabhu, Anugrahaya Bhudanam Manushim Tanumashridam, that after the Rasa dance, chapters 29 to 33 in the 10th canto, if the five chapters are known as Rasa Panchadhyayi, referring to the Rasa dance of Krishna. So after this Rasa dance was over, Parikshit Maharaj felt a little bit uneasy when he heard everything from Sudeva Goswami. He asked Sudeva Goswami that what you have spoken about Krishna and this Rasa dance with the gopis, I have few questions to ask about it. Sudeva Goswami said, go on, keep asking whatever questions you have, he said. So Parikshit Maharaj said to Sudeva Goswami, is this thing correct what Krishna has done? That Krishna has associated with the gopis. Will that not be considered immoral in this world? That was the question was raised by Parikshit to Sudeva Goswami. So Sri Shugan said to Parikshit, smiled and answered their question, because he was expecting that question. That was the interesting thing. That Sudeva Goswami know that what kind of questions are going to come from there, the other side. So when he knew that, he was already ready to answer that. He thought that, because he knew that I have spoken Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit now. If I don't clarify these things now, later on, there will be another type of devotees in Kali Yuga. They are waiting, they will start and take Srimad Bhagavatam. They will open up all the pages and they will start reading it and they will start judging Krishna based on Krishna's activities. And they will say, oh, what is this Krishna? He is not moral. He is a very immoral person. I don't want any instruction from him. There goes Bhagavatam. Yeah. This will be their attitude. So in order to make that point very clear there itself, Sukadeva Goswami answered that question in one of the finest way that to establish Krishna's and to make Parikshit understand. Parikshit already knew what is the position of himself and Krishna's position. He is such a great personality. But knowing well that in the future there will be devotees like us who will be evaluating, judging everybody, that Sukadeva Goswami decided that right now let me clarify this question. And he said to Parikshit, my dear Parikshit, try to understand that Supreme Personality of Godhead is not subjected to our moral laws. This laws of this world, what we have, Manu Samhita and this Samhita, that Samhita, all the laws of this world, we have created for conditioned souls like us. Supreme Personality of Godhead is not bound by any of these things. He is above all these things. He has, his activities do not bind him anywhere. He is beyond karma. Loss of karma doesn't affect him. Whereas we, for anything and everything we do, we will have immediate reaction to that, either here, now or later. But the question is that Krishna's appearance and activities are transcendental. This is why In the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektva deham punar janmam neidimam edis arjunaha. That if one understands Krishna's appearance, Krishna's activities, not like the mundane way we understand, but from the transcendental position, then he is already liberated, or he understands what is Krishna. So Krishna wanted to make that clear through these activities in the transcendental pastimes with the gopis, that Sudeva Goswami mentioned to Parishit Maharaj, Krishna is not bound by any of these things. On the other hand, Krishna says, Sudeva Goswami says to Parishit, why did Krishna come? Did Krishna come here to gratify his senses by dancing with the gopis? No. Sudeva Goswami answers there, anugrahaya bhudanam manushim tanumashridaha. Even that human form Krishna has taken appeared in this world for one sake, or one reason only, to bless the conditioned souls. To bless the conditioned souls or living entities like us. So that we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come. And it will give us an opportunity to to surrender to Him. This was the reason why He came here. This was the main purpose of Krishna's descending to this world. It's not like any other incarnation. The great authorities on this subject say that Paripurna Tamam, Krishna is Paripurna Tamam. It is total, complete. Everything what you could call as Supreme Personality is Krishna. Absolute Truth is Krishna. And He has descended to this world from the... there are so many explanations to that. From the aprameyam, aprabanchan prabanche. That means which is beyond our perception of this creation. It is from outside that He has come. We don't even know that, understand that, that abode of Krishna, where He is situated with His devotees. So from there He has descended to this creation, this created world of the earthly planet. He has descended. That is how He has arrived. And we have no understanding of that, details of that, how Krishna has descended, why He has descended, and on what conditions He has come. There is no conditions. He decided out of His sweet will. That's why it says, anugrahaya bhudanam manushim tanumashridam, that He has come to this world. Ramananda Roy answered this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated. Yashrutva talparyo bhavel. This is the most interesting thing in that verse. Yashrutva talparyo bhavel. That, why did He do that? Sri Shukan says to Parikshit, He did this only for one reason, and that reason is, Ya Shrutva Talparyo Bhavel, so that people can hear that and then get attracted to Krishna. That is the only reason, nothing else. These pastimes in the Bhagavadam, what Krishna has performed, the Leelas in the childhood and even later on, which Sudeva Goswami expanded into 90 long chapters in the 10th canto, and later on in the Ekadasha Skandam and Dwadasham also, all these are meant for only one purpose. For the conditioned soul to get attracted to Krishna. And that is the process. And that is how, that's why it says, Ya Shrutva Talparyo Bhavel. By hearing this, one gets attracted to Krishna. But here also there is a slight problem. What is that problem? Problem is this, that when one glorifies Krishna, how should one glorify Krishna? That is the question. That glorification is such, Krishna has always said this, that if by glorifying Krishna, if somehow or the other a conditioned soul is attracted to Krishna a little bit, Krishna says that glorification is correct. That is Krishna's judgment on this. It is not that glorification is done depending on what we like to glorify. No. The purpose of all glorification of Krishna is at the end of the discussion, or end of the Bhagavatam discussions, or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, if one person has come closer to Krishna, even by 1 millimeter, it is said in the Bhagavatam that it is considered to be a success. Why? Bhagavatam says that Srimad Bhagavatam should be heard and understood in that way. Because, Yada Harer Bhagavati, Mrinam Bhaktir Bhavishyadi, Sarvatman Nakhiladharam, Iti Sangalpa Varnaya. When Brahma said to Narada Muni, that Brahma spoke the Charishlogi Bhagavatam was spoken to Brahma. Krishna gave in four verses Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. That is called as Charishlogi Bhagavatam. Brahma took it and started reciting. Krishna said to Brahma, recite this Charishlogi Bhagavatam and continue your creation. Nothing will happen to you. Because Brahma was very frightened. Like us, Brahma is also creator. We are also creators in a mini level, isn't it? So Brahma's creation is in a much bigger level. Brahma was creating in this universe so many living entities, he has to go out. And these living entities were cursing him all the time for their distress. They come here, they suffer. When they suffer, they are asking Brahma, what have you done to me? What have I done to you? You have written all this on my head and I have come here. What have I done to you? They asked Brahma this question. Brahma is thinking, I have not done anything. All I have done is, they have their own karma. They have done that. They have done sinful activities and they are suffering, but they don't remember that anything. And they are looking at me and saying, what have you written here on my head? And they are asking me this question. So Brahma says at that time that I am not going to continue this creation. I cannot do this. This is in the first Manu's time, in the first Kalpam this incident happens. That Brahma is an intelligent person. He's not an ordinary living entity. He's a very intelligent person. So before he started creation, he asked Krishna that if I start creation, all those things who are created, will they not be my children? It's natural, isn't it? A father will have to think that also, that he keep on creating children, 10, 15 children. And then he thinks and realizes one day, oh, they're all my children, aren't they? He thinks like that. Similarly, but Brahma was more sensible. He knew that if I keep on creating all these living entities, and they, one day, I'll have to see them suffering in this world, because Brahma knows very well what goes on here, in this earthly planet. And he realized that these living entities will come here, engage in all sinful activities, and accumulate more and more karma, and the result they will take in changing their bodies one after the other, and suffering here all the time. And they will look back and ask me, why have you done this to me? So Brahma sensed this was going to happen. And so he said to Krishna that I cannot do this, because if I do creation, if this is what's going to happen, I don't want this creation, he said to Brahma. Brahma said to Krishna, I don't want to do this creation. Give me some other service, he said. If there is some other service in the temple, I'll do that. He said, this service is of cleaning, mopping up and all this, I don't want to do it, he said. I want to be a big collector or big preacher or whatever that is. Because I like to select my services, he said. Krishna said to Brahma, that's not surrender. Surrender means you do what I say, don't do what you like. That's not service, he said. So Brahma thought with all his four heads, he started thinking what to do. He doesn't think like us. We have only one head, so he can't think very much. He can think four times faster. It's a Pentium 4 processor inside. Going on. So fast he was thinking. Brahma said to Krishna, that if it is like that, what should I do? Krishna said, I'll tell you, there is a solution to the problem. He said, I'll give you these four verses. Take it from me. He said, chant these four verses. Nothing will touch you, he said. You continue creation, nothing will happen, he said. And that is how Charishlogi Bhagavatam was spoken. Brahma took the Charishlogi Bhagavatam. From then on, he recited Charishlogi Bhagavatam all the time. Aham evam samevagre. In the second canto, you can see that. So, the example is, you know, sometimes you have in the kitchen certain vegetables which are very sticky. There are certain types of vegetables like that. Variety of vegetables in this world. But so normally what the housewives, what do they do? They will apply some oil on the hand before they start cutting jackfruit or some fruits like that. Because all these fruits have got some sticky things inside. If you touch it with the hand, it sticks to your hand. But if you apply some oil on your hands, then it cannot stick. You can cut the vegetables nicely, continue with your cooking. So this Charishlogi Bhagavatam is like that for Brahma. Brahma got it like this. And from then on, he continued creation with Charishlogi Bhagavatam in the hand. And still then, since then, Brahma was not affected by our miseries. Listen, let them suffer, that's their problem. That was Brahma's attitude. So, Krishna says, at that time, Sri Narada Muni heard all these things from Brahma. Sri Narada Muni took it from Brahma, these three, four verses, Brahma got it. But what Brahma did, Brahma did not give that four verses as such to Narada Muni. He expanded that into three chapters. Because by the time Narada Muni arrived on the scene, the stages changed. Because first time when Krishna instructed Brahma, first time it was only two letters that came out. Ta, pa, ta, pa. Two times it was spoken. And Brahma with his intelligence thought about it. What is this? Ta, letter ta from the alphabets and the letter pa from the alphabet. He put it together. It was spoken two letters, two times. Ta and pa. So he understood. Tapa, tava. That is what he wants me to do. The austerities, austerities. He got the message. So Brahma performed thousands and thousands of years of austerities. It was then that he was Krishna appeared to him, and from inside, Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adikavaye Mukhyandiyal Suraya. That the message was given to Brahma by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So after receiving the message, to Narada Muni, the message was not given like that. It was given in a different form, little bit more expanded into three chapters. And you will see there that Brahma instructing Narada Muni. And after that, what did Brahma say to Narada Muni? Narada Muni, you go ahead. Go on preaching the glories of Krishna throughout the universe. But, so Narada Muni asked Brahma, that whatever you have spoken now, I have understood that. But I haven't got the minute details of all these pastimes of Krishna. All the minute details of the pastimes of Krishna. So it was then that Brahma said to Narada Muni, I have given you the gist of all the pastimes. Take these pastimes in your mind and expand them. Yatha harer bhagavadi nrinam bhaktir bhavishyadi sarvatman nakhiladharam iti sangalpavarnayaham. That by expanding this these pastimes of Krishna in such a way, yadha harer bhagavadi nrinam bhaktir bhavishyari, that it will develop devotion in the heart of a person who hears about Krishna, then sarvatmanakhiladharam, that Krishna is the basis of everything, material or spiritual, everything in this world. With that understanding, you can expand these pastimes. Idi sangalpa varnaya. With that sangalpam, keep on describing the pastimes of Krishna. That is how the pastimes of Krishna are glorified by the great sages and the devotees. And on that basis, if you do that, Krishna is saying that, I will accept that as correct. Because to prove something correct or wrong, who is the judge ultimately? Is it the printed book the judge? Or is it us, another devotee judge? No, the authority is Krishna ultimately. When something has to be right, if Krishna says it's right, then you can't say anything further after that. Maithilyam papavacham shiva shiva kiladam garbhinim abhyahasim. One devotee once said to Krishna, Maithilyam papavacham shiva shiva kiladam garbhinim abhyahasim. He turned around to Krishna and told him that when you were Ramachandra, what did you do? You sent that innocent Sita Devi who was pregnant to the forest and abandoned her. Did you not? He asked him. Krishna said, no, I didn't do that. Ramchandra did that, he said. It is not me, he said. So what did he say? Shiva Shiva kiladam. He was calling Lord Shiva's help that time. Shiva Shiva. It is called Stobham. Stobham means in some instances when you are completely shaken by something someone has done, automatically a reaction from your mind comes out in a sort of a shaken mood. That's what he said. Maithilyam papavacham shiva shiva kiladam garbhinim abhyahasim. That garbhini, that pregnant Sita Devi, you abandoned her, did you not? He said. Krishna says, I didn't do that. Ramchandra did that, he said. Okay, fine. He kept quiet, he didn't say anything. After discussing all these things, one day, the devotee asked Krishna, that whatever you told me that you didn't do it, Ramchandra has done that, isn't it? He said, yes. Okay. Then later on, he's talking about Ramchandra's story now. You have to remember that. Ramchandra's story, in this devotee was taking from Srimad Bhagavatam and presenting to Krishna for his pleasure. And Krishna is sitting down, like so he used to sit in front of Surdas. How he used to sit there with folded hands like this, looking at Surdas' face, wanted to hear from him. What is being... Surdas was blind, he couldn't see anything. He was singing about Krishna. Krishna was sitting right in front and hearing about these songs about him by Surdas. So, same way here, this devotee was saying this to Krishna. And at one point, after speaking about this, he said, Hanuman, when he came back from Lanka, after searching for Sita Devi, he brought back the jewel from her head and brought it back and gave it, he said. He didn't say it to whom. He kept quiet about it. So at that time, Krishna woke up and said to him, Why did you not tell me that he has given it to me? He said, no, you are not taking the ownership, he said. You don't want to take the ownership when you thought about talking about handing over the, sending Sita Devi to the forest. But now, not only that in the verse, he wanted to correct that. Krishna wanted to correct the verse and tell him, Mauli Ratnam Dadao Te. What he wrote to us, Mauli Ratnam Dadao Cha. He brought back the Mauli Ratnam. Mauli Ratnam is the jewel from the hair. Brought it back. Hanuman brought it back. Dadao cha. He said, yes, also gave it back, he said. He didn't say it to whom. So he asked the devotee, why don't you say that? It is, change that cha to te, he said. Mauli ratnam dadao te. He said, no, I'm not changing. Because now you are okay, you are happy to receive the jewel. But when it came to abandoning Sita, he says, Ramchandra has done it, go and complain to him. This is what your attitude is. This is not proper. Krishna didn't say anything, kept quiet. Totally accepted that. So Krishna is like that. For him, whatever the devotee says, ultimately, if he is feeling that, Krishna is affected by that. When we speak about Krishna, Krishna enjoys discussing about him. Krishna wants us to understand from our mind what we feel about Krishna. These are Krishna's desire. Like us, Krishna also has desire. Krishna is not a stone standing there. He is like our consciousness. He likes to hear from us what we feel about him, how we reciprocate with him, our relationship with him. All these things comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these understanding are there. Yadha harer bhagavadi nrinam bhaktir bhaveshyadi sarvatmanakhiladharam iti sangalpavarnaya. So on that basis, you can discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and expand that stories as much as you want. So therefore, in the Bhagavatam itself, it says, Ya Shutva Talparo Bhavel. Suppose we talk from Srimad Bhagavatam some pastime. Somebody in the listeners may say, oh no, no, it is not in the Bhagavatam like that. He is speculating everything. He is not right. I have not read that. It must be something wrong with you. Where did you get that? Is that bona fide? All these kind of questions. Krishna doesn't feel it. We will have all this kind of complicated mind in our head. We will see everything like this. Nothing we will see in the proper way. Krishna sees in a different way. What Krishna sees there is, Ya Shrutva Talparo Bhavel. That when he hears, he doesn't hear like the way we hear Bhagavatam. When he hears, he is thinking, is the speaker and the listener are able to understand me, are able to see me properly in their way? Do they understand? He is not looking into the logbook and checking whether everything what he has spoken is strictly what is written in the book. It will never be like that. That is why, Ya Shrutva Talparo Bhavel Anugrahaya Bhudanam Manushim Tanumashridam. So, after this was spoken, then another question came from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy. And this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drawing Ramananda Roy closer to the ultimate truth. He wanted him to bring it closer and closer. So the next question he raised was that what should one hear all the time? All the time, what should one hear? This was the question. What one should remember, what one should, where one should live. How? In other words, everything is related to the subtle elements of the body. Not everything related to the soul, nothing related to the body. You can find here. What one should do is everything related totally to our consciousness. So the next question he raised was, what should one hear all the time? that will help him. Then the beautiful answer from Ramananda Roy, what was that? Vikriridam Brajavadu Virjanja Vishnu Shraddhanidam Anushunya Anuvarnayeda Bhaktim Param Bhagavadim Pratilabhya Kamam Hridrogam Ashu Abahinoti Ajirena Dhiraha. In the Srimad Bhagavadam, if you read the portion which is related to, the part that is related to Krishna's dance with the gopis, Rasa dance, at the end of that, Sri Shukan has given a benediction to the story of Rasa dance. Rasa dance is from 29 to 33 in the 10th canto, 29 to 33. So at the end of 33 chapter 33, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to hear from Sukadeva Goswami, what is the benediction of hearing this Rasa dance, or the pastimes of Rasa dance. So in answer to that, Sri Shukan says there, Vikriridam Brajamadu Biridanja Vishnu Shraddhanidam Anishunyal Athavarnayedam Bhaktim Ganim Bhaktim Param Bhagavadim Pratilabhyagamam Hridrogam Ashu Abahinoti Achirena Dhiraha. That if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there a special word called Dhira. What does that mean? Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara praptir dhiras tatra anamuhyadi. That dhira, the word he has used there, has a lot of significance. Why? Because to come to that state of consciousness of a dhira is a very, very difficult thing. It's not so easy. That Krishna says there, that one who has understood, or the one who is released from the concept of bodily life, or one is freed from the bodily concept of life, one who has understood that and come to that conclusion, he is considered to be a dhira. So Krishna will use this word dhira in many places in the Bhagavatam also. You will find that. So this dhira, consciousness of a dhira, means one who is not anymore under the control of the material nature. He has already escaped from the modes of nature. He is released from that. So that freedom of a release from these modes of nature, one can achieve by hearing this pastime of Krishna. That is what Sri Shukan says. Hridrogam ashu abahinoti achirena dhiraham. Normally, what is this hridrogam? Hridrogam means, it's a very subtle thing, but it is the reality of this human body. That all of us have what is known as lusty desires in our heart. Kamam, Krotham, they are two brothers. One is the elder brother Kamam, and when elder brother is not satisfied, younger brother will take over straight away. We know that in life how it is. When your lust, or our lust, is not satisfied, if we are lusting after something, as soon as the lusty desire is not satisfied, the next thing that comes out is the younger brother, Krotham. So that is why they are always together, these two brothers. They travel together. And when they come and really finish the person there, and he loses all senses. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam both, while Krishna instructing Uddhava, he says these two things come from only one thing, what is known as Rajogunam. Rajogunam is the cause of these two things. From Rajogunam, these two manifest. So if you want to control them, you have only one option left to come out of Rajogunam. As long as you are under the control of Rajogunam, these two things will always be there. What does it say? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also that Kamayesha Krodhayesha Rajoguna Samulbhavaha. That from Rajogunam comes Kamam and Krodham, both. And as long as these two things are there, you can take it, there you are completely under the control of Rajogunam. There is no escape from that. So, because it is like that, these two things are there in everyone's heart. No one can easily say that I have escaped from Kamam and Krotham. And that is known as Hridrogam. That is our Hridrogam. Hridrogam means, modern medicine may call it Hridrogam as the heart attack or this. But this heart is a different heart than that heart. That heart is the one which pumps the blood. That is that heart which relates to the heart attack. But this heart, what is referred to in the Bhagavatam, Hridrogamashu Abahinodhi Ajirena Dhiraham. This heart inside has got a problem. That is where all these things, lust, anger, greed, desires, ragam, dvesham, krotham, madam, malsaryam, all difficult things to get rid of, they are all packed up in this thing called hrudrogam, in hrudayam. And then hrudayam requires a cleanup. And that cleanup will happen if one study the Krishna's rasa dance properly, one understand it properly. That's why it says, hridrogamashu apahinoti achirena dhiraha. Achirena means in due course, he'll become a dhira. In other words, due to understanding, studying these transcendental pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, it is for this reason Krishna has left behind all these transcendental pastimes for the devotee to relish. And when one studies them properly and release them, naturally he'll be released from these lusty desires once for all. And Ramananda Roy said this to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu accepted it and said to Ramananda Roy that that is the message, conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ultimately, what does liberation mean? Liberation means getting this mind freed from the three modes of nature. And this is the most difficult thing, that we do not know ourselves how complicated this mind is. Mind is so much carries us into such complicated situations in life, that to purify this mind, what we have accumulated in millions of lifetimes, that's already there. And that is what requires purification. So here, in the 10th canto, that is what the message at the end of the 10th canto is. So at the end of this Rasa Dance chapter, Rasa Panchadhyayi, Sridharajarya Swamiji calls it as Rasa Panchadhyayi. And why is it called Rasa Panchadhyayi? Because this Rasa Panchadhyayi has got this one specific nature. That is, up to this time, everything in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto is what is known as pravarti. Pravarti means that you see Krishna's pastimes as the activities of this world. But when the very same activities is seen as something for nivrti or liberation from this conditioned existence, that is why it is called nivrti para rasa manjadhyayi. Sridharajarya Swamiji, that is how he says about the five chapters. Nivrti para rasa manjadhyayi. Nivrti param, that is means that is one that one that will liberate a person from the material life, material conditioned life. So after that question was over, because we have got short time, we'll quickly move on to that. The next question was the final question from Mahaprabhu. What should one chant? What should one chant? Is there any difficult to answer that question? And that is where the perfection of that question is. That what should one chant all the time? In answer to that, Mahaprabhu took a quotation from Uddhava's instruction, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Krishna's instructions to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam. At one point, he said to Uddhava, Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Tannamam Grahanadivim. Bhakti Yogam, if you want to start practicing, start with the my name. Krishna says to Uddhava, Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Tannamam Grahanadivim. That the holy name of Krishna is that what one should start with. Into chant the process, or and the process of chanting is the process to start spiritual life. If one doesn't chant and one stays away from chanting, no matter how many years, if you carry on in spiritual life, you will find that you're not getting anywhere. Because the powerful effect of chanting is so strong that when one takes to it automatically, that becomes the perfection in spiritual life. They have proved that again and again. And knowing very well that in this age of Kali, people will find it very, very hard to execute any other process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Personality, Krishna also has put everything into this. Nama Ananda Nijakarya Bhukya Shakti Tatra Arpida Niyamida Smaranena Kala Eta Drisha Tavakrupa Bhagavan Mamami Durdeiva Midrishamivana Yunanuragaha. That Nama Ananda Nijakarya Bhukya Sarva Shakti everything what is required in this age of Kali for a ordinary person to advance in the spiritual path, that Sarva Shakti has been put into these holy names of Krishna. So from there onwards, Mahaprabhu said this to Ramananda Roy, that is the perfection. That is the perfection of spiritual life. And when he heard that, Ramananda Roy started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let us pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he gives us the inspiration to chant the Mahamantra throughout the life till we leave this body. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jai
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Jai.